What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. The history the government hopes you never learn. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome to our show today. It's Thursday, August 9th, 2018. Sure happy it's Thursday. Sure happy it's Thursday. Sure happy it's Thursday. We have a lot to talk about today. The phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. Mike is in our control room, twiddling the dials, keeping us out of trouble and ready to answer the phone, put you on the air with your comments and questions. Now, today is the 73rd anniversary of the atomic bombing of the city of Nagasaki. And over the last several years, it has basically emerged that the rationale that was given to the public for dropping the bombs really didn't hold up. Japan, as soon as Russia came on in to the war on Japan, Japan wanted to surrender. They were trying to surrender. And it wasn't really necessary to drop the bombs, but it appears that Truman did it basically to demonstrate we really had these things. And in a certain degree of cold cynicism, they just wanted to see what was going to happen to these cities, Hiroshima and Nagasaki. And it was for that very reason that in the firebombing campaign against Japan that preceded the atomic bombs, the cities of Nagasaki and Hiroshima were left alone so that they would be in pristine condition when the atomic bombs hit. So that's kind of what's going on in terms of that little bit of hidden history. And again, when you hear the corporate media talking about Iran's nukes or North Korea's nukes or Saddam's nukes or the rest of it, you need to remember the only nation that's ever actually used nuclear weapons of mass destruction against the civilians of another country is the United States of America. Now, the U.S. has just thrown more sanctions onto Russia, justifying them because of the poisoning of Sergei Skripal. And, of course, there's absolutely no proof Russia had anything to do with it. But, hey, we're the United States of America. We don't need any proof. We just have belief, and that's all it takes. So Russia is understandably upset. They're saying these new sanctions are unacceptable. And they reject, again, claims that they had anything to do with the Skripal case. And, again, Novichok was supposed to be this incredibly lethal chemical weapon, and yet it only killed one out of the five people who were exposed to whatever it was they were exposed to. Now, because of these impending sanctions, Russia is now threatening to ban the sale of rocket engines to the United States. The United States is still dependent on the Russian-made RD-180 rocket engine, which powers the first stage of the Atlas V rocket made by Boeing and Lockheed Martin. Now, there are American companies trying to come online and sort of regain the knowledge of how to build these very powerful rocket engines, but they're not ready yet. And so this would be a serious issue. I think these RD-180s are also used for some of the NASA spacecraft as well, including, if I recall correctly, the boosters that will launch these commercially made spacecraft made by SpaceX and Boeing up to the space station. So it's another escalation. And there doesn't really seem to be much point to it other than to just stir things up. And just stirring things up for the sake of stirring things up is generally a bad idea, because the military-industrial complex wanted a new Cold War, and it looks like they've got it. So why keep pushing and risk a hot war? Now, down in Syria, 418 ISIS members have been killed in a Syrian Defense Force operation near the Iraq border. And apparently, the U.S.-backed Syrian Democratic Forces released a statement summing up results of their operation in southern al-Hasaka in eastern Deir ez-Zor. And so now these U.S.-backed groups are fighting against each other. And I think the U.S. is trying to justify its continued presence in Syria by backing the Syrian Defense Force. And say, see, you need us. You need us to stay here. We got to stay here. But Syria doesn't want the U.S. there. The Syrian people doesn't want the U.S. there. The U.S. has no legal grounds to be there whatsoever. It's a foreign occupation of Syrian territory. There's no U.N. Security Council resolution that legalizes what the U.S. is doing in Syria. There's been no declaration of war against Syria from the Congress as required by the Constitution. So the U.S. is just clinging onto Syria so they don't have to admit that basically they lost this war and they got kicked out. Now, over in Iran, President Hassan Rouhani went on television to basically talk about the reinstatement of sanctions by the United States against his country. And he basically prepared his population for more hardship as a result of the sanctions, laying the blame where it really belongs here. And he responded to President Trump's offer of a meeting by saying, if you stab someone with a knife and then say you want to talk, the first thing you have to do is remove the knife. So what Rouhani is saying is that removing the sanctions is the first step before there are going to be any talks. Now, coming from the United States side, Trump is talking about the new deal with Iran. And as we expected, it's not just the nuclear limits of the nuclear deal. Trump wants Iran to get rid of their long-range rockets because that's what Israel wants. But those long-range rockets are weapons of deterrence. So what Trump is asking Iran to do is to give up their weapons of deterrence and then just trust that the United States and Israel won't do anything, even though the United States has been caught multiple times playing the same game with other countries. Saddam gave up his chemical weapon arsenal. He never did have nuclear weapons, on assurances by the United States that he would not be attacked. Then he got attacked. Same thing with Syria. Assad gave up his chemical weapons and then got invaded. So I can understand why Iran, not to mention North Korea, would be a little hesitant to take the U.S. government at their word. We're going to do a shout out now to our on-air affiliates who are just now rejoining the network. And here's an article that came out of Information Clearinghouse, and it's saying basically the same thing I've been saying over the last couple of weeks here. Trump's talk of isolating Iran speaks more to U.S. global isolation. And it says here, the move risks further isolating Washington, not Tehran, in the eyes of the world. And we're seeing Europe isn't going along with the sanctions. Europe is pulling away from the United States. China is going to buy Iranian oil. Turkey's going to buy Iranian oil. India apparently is caving into U.S. pressure, and they're going to buy some U.S. oil along with some oil from Iran here. But again, this is exactly what's happening. You know, I was looking at Toynbee's theory of the collapse of civilizations, and he basically says civilizations collapse when their leadership falls in love with their own past and they're oblivious to see new problems or seek creative solutions to deal with new problems. And they just keep playing the same thing over and over and over again, even when it becomes way out of date, which is a lot of what's happening here right now. Washington, D.C. is still acting like it's 1950 and 1960, where the U.S. reigns supreme, we're the indispensable country, we've got strong manufacturing and strong agriculture and a powerful economy. It isn't real. They're not seeing what is right in front of their eyes, and it's a warning sign. Now, yesterday we were talking about how a Spanish warplane taking part in a NATO exercise over Estonia had accidentally fired a live armed missile near the border with Russia. And I'd kind of just asked rhetorically on the air, I wonder where it went. Well, it turns out it traveled about 80 kilometers and hit a peat bog where it started a fire. And they put out the fire. They're searching for the missile fragments. So that's where it wound up. And I'm glad that's where it landed. It could have hit something a lot worse, like a hospital or a school here. Okay. So anyway, getting on back to India. Indian Oil Corporation, the biggest refiner in India, has purchased a total of 6 million barrels of U.S. crude oil for delivery between November and January, as it has started to look for a replacement of Iranian oil cargoes ahead of the U.S. sanctions. though. India did back down. Down in Nicaragua, their president is blasting the U.S. foreign policy, saying the U.S. isn't seeking normal relations with any other country. What's going on is the U.S. is demanding total submission, even servility. And President Daniel Ortega is out there saying U.S. foreign policy is based on expansionism and oppression. Neocolonialism, if you want. And he said, we have always wanted to have normal relations with the U.S., but we see only aggression in return. Well, welcome to the club. Welcome to the club. Basically, that's Washington's foreign policy. Just stomp on anybody who refuses to bow down to Washington, D.C.'s will. Over in Venezuela, they've now released evidence tying the Maduro assassination to Colombia and to the United States. This backs up that journalist, James Bliley, over in Peru, who said that the drones were actually purchased in Miami, flown to Colombia, taken across the border into Venezuela. The explosives were attached and made to look like TV news cameras, and the attempt was made. But it failed because of anti-drone technology protecting President Maduro here. Over in Taiwan, satellite imagery being published by the Kanwha Defense Review shows Taiwan has positioned a land attack cruise missile aimed toward mainland China that is capable of targeting several cities along the country's southeast coast. So these are the Xiangfeng 2E land attack cruise missile. They're stationed at a base in Toyun, less than 200 miles from Fuzhou, the capital city of China's Fujian province. And apparently the pictures were actually taken this year back in March, but they're only just now being released. So yet another place where tensions are cranking. Is it just me, or does it feel like the whole world is going crazy? All of our leaders are just war happy. They think war is a great thing. They can't wait to just get on out there. They think it's going to be great. They're going to, you know, have statues, you know, erected in their honor. They're going to get their faces on the currency and the postage stamps if they have a war. Now, over in Israel, Israel has bombed Gaza yet again. The hospitals have basically run out of fuel there. A pregnant 23-year-old Palestinian, Inas Muhammad Kamash, was killed along with her daughter, Bayan, 1.5 years old. The woman's husband was moderately injured. Israel is doing this supposedly in response to another missile attack from Gaza into Israel, which, like all the other supposed missile attacks, just didn't hit anything. Okay. Now, the National Board for Planning and Building has recommended to the government of Israel construction of two new communities in the Negev Desert. And so that's probably going to go ahead. So once again, Israel is just out there building these settlements, despite condemnation from the world. Now, interestingly enough, as you know, one of the big problems that came out of Israel's massacre of the Palestinians at the fence with Gaza was that Israel would not allow the wounded Gazans to go to the West Bank to better equipped Palestinian hospitals where their wounds could be treated. And as a result, many of these people had their legs amputated. Well, the EU has come on down saying that there really ought to be a rail line, a link between Gaza and the West Bank. Because after all, they're all Palestinians. And of course, Israel has flatly rejected that idea. Israel's goal is to keep breaking Palestine into smaller and smaller pieces so they can never be a contiguous block of land to house a future Palestinian state. Now, Israel's still going back and forth over their new draft law. And of course, the big issue there is the Orthodox Jews view of Judaism says they're not allowed to participate in war. And Israel, for the longest time, has exempted the Orthodox Jews from the draft law. Now Israel wants to change that, and it's led to quite a bit of tension. And so the existing Israeli Defense Service law expires in September after the High Court of Justice deemed it unconstitutional. So the Knesset is obliged to pass an alternative law before then. All right, we're going to take a phone call from Dustin in New Jersey. Aloha, Dustin. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Mike, what happened to the infrastructure plan of this country from Trump? He's more interested in building a space force. $8 million or $8 billion? Why isn't
it's
going to
be billion. Space is expensive. Oh. Yeah, the infrastructure is not. I mean, they did allocate a small amount of money for infrastructure improvement, but it's nowhere near enough. In fact, it's just a drop in the bucket. It's largely symbolic, and I don't know where it's being spent. It's certainly not being spent around here.
You know, Mike, I keep hearing from Trump people, because I flow through the Fox News crap also. Like, the economy is doing well, and we're at like this percentage of unemployment, and I say BS with all of that, because you see what's going on in Europe, Mike, with the food banks. They're telling them not to log in the amount of people applying for the food bank. Well, if that's going on there, it's going on here. Yeah, yep. And then that tells you there's a lot more people either on unemployment and looking for help. Because it's not as good as they're claiming, but it's a welfare and a warfare state now, our country. And the West, it seems like that's what the West, that's why Trump wants to increase NATO spending and all that. This is what we got left. My God, Mike.
Yeah.
This is it.
Yeah.
I mean, it blows my mind how, I want people to call in your show if they still support Trump. I'm sorry, but, there should have been $8 billion for infrastructure rebuilding, not
yes.
for a space force. I mean, what's the point? I mean, Russia cut back their military spending from 62 to 45, and they're going to use the money in between to put it into infrastructure and stuff, But we're not doing that. But yet, we can print money out of thin air. But we can print money out of thin air.
Yeah, well, it's not out of thin air. It's basically a debt that future generations of Americans will be enslaved to. And, and I'm sure the thinking in Washington, D.C. is we're going to conquer all those other countries and we're going to let them pay our debt off. But remember when we were told that the revenues from Iraq's oil would pay for that war and the reconstruction? It didn't happen.
Yeah, look at what we did to Libya. That was a disaster because they made it. You think they actually intentionally making these disasters? Everybody says, it was they screwed up. No, maybe they didn't screw up. Maybe it's all intentionally to cripple these countries, Do you think that's a possibility that they're intentionally reducing these countries to rubble?
Well, certainly that would be Israel's interest. Israel wants to be basically dominate the Middle East and all these other countries that might present a political rivalry have to be smashed up. That's what they did in Iraq, and that's why Israel's pushing so hard for this war with Iran or for regime change in Iran.
Mike, I want to switch gears if I still got time to the opiate crisis in the United States. There was just a report.
Yeah, well,
a woman...
I'm going to take you through the commercial break.
Okay. There was a report a woman gave birth in a Burger King while she's high on heroin.
Oh,
we have an opiate. But Mike, I know some of your. I don't know if you believe in just allowing all drugs to be legal, but people need to look up the opiate crisis in China. It'll reduce your country to nothing.
Yes.
I mean, it can be used as a weapon. So I want people to keep that in mind, instead of saying we should make all drugs legal. I mean, marijuana is one thing, but, you got to draw the line somewhere, because heroin's pretty nasty stuff, and you can see what's going on.
It's pouring out of Afghanistan and into the streets of America and into our pharmaceutical industries. Anyway, Dustin, stay on the line. Got to put you on hold here. We're going to take a commercial break, and we'll be right back.
Thank you.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
When all this twisted steel was swept away, did these remaining holes reveal what really happened?
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. And once again, we're standing here with our hands outstretched here and asking for your support for Republic Broadcasting, because you can see it yourself. We're under attack. The entire independent media is under attack. They started with Alex Jones, and now they're spreading on out. We're going to be talking about that a lot later in the show. And, you know, sooner or later, they're going to get down to a small fry, and we need your help to stay on the air and keep trying to get the truth out. So if you can help, and remember, there's no such thing as too small a donation. The postal address to send a check, money order, or if you prefer anonymity, cash, is Republic Broadcasting Network, 2251 Double Creek Road, number 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. The phone number where you can make a credit or debit card donation or pledge to be a recurring subscriber is 800-724-2719, extension 1 during business hours, extension 3 at all other times. Okay, getting on back to Dustin in New Jersey. Maybe Trump's plan to make America great again is not to lift America up, but to just smash the rest of the world down so that, in a relativistic sense, America is the greatest nation on earth again.
Yeah, but I mean, the problem is he's going to smash down all the... People don't realize parts are coming in from China to be used in American products. also.
Yes.
That are made here. So, I mean, you're going to ruin the rest of the world. You're going to ruin this country. And the same time, I mean, I just, you know, China, they are not, they're playing a long game. You know, they might have some short-term pain like we are, but they will come out in the long run because they have the world, they got 85% of the world's manufacturing. We don't. They can go to other places. We can't. That's what people don't realize. You know, I mean, I think it's a disaster. I mean, and he's going to be increasing it more and more because he thinks he's winning. Yeah, Washington thinks they're winning. I mean, I mean, this could lead to a Great Depression on the planet, and it'll be worse here because everybody expects everything for them here because we're a welfare and a warfare state. So I think it'd be worse here than anywhere else in the world just because we don't make anything anymore. And you know,
I've read several articles by analysts who are saying that this next crash is going to be worse than the Depression of the 1930s. And that's not something I want anybody to have to live through. But it looks like at this point it's unavoidable. The debt is simply too great. It's unsustainable. And, you know, both the Republicans and the Democrats like to spend like crazy to keep their constituents happy. And, you know, the ordinary American, we've run out of money. And so there's nothing really to repay all that debt with.
They just put more sanctions on Russia, like you said. I'm like, and did you see what they did to Rand Paul when he went over there with the letter to Putin?
Yes.
They called him a traitor. And then now you got, did you hear about Facebook and the Atlantic Council, which is an arm of NATO? They're going to be teaming up to censor news that they don't like.
Yep.
I mean, we've become authoritarian in the West. I mean, this is
corporatism. Yes, we have. Yes,
yeah,
we
man.
Have. I mean, this open and blatant censorship basically is the red flag that we have basically descended into fascism.
Throw in all the wars, Mike, the tariffs. Like you said, there's some crazy crap going on all around the world. People better be scared and wake the heck up because all this stuff going on at the same time is not a good mix, you know? And Mike,
no,
that's
it
all
isn't.
I got to say. All right, have a good show.
All right, well, thanks an awful lot here. Thanks for the phone call here. And I've got another caller waiting on the line, but I'm going to wait until after the commercial break. Turning on back to Israel, there was a mass protest in Israel over the nation-state law. And we're talking tens of thousands of people in Tel Aviv just protesting against the law. They were holding signs, if we are brothers, we must be equals, our forces are unity, and they were waving Israeli and Druze flags. And leaving the Druze out of the nation-state law, I think, was probably Netanyahu's single biggest mistake. But you probably ought to click on that link and take a look at the photograph, because that square where the protest is taking place, it is simply jammed. It is jammed. Now, satellite images are showing that North Korea is continuing to dismantle the missile launch site, but there are no signs of any moves to scrap the nuclear weapons. I'm sure what North Korea is doing right now is they're waiting for a sign of good faith from the United States. And if Mike Pompeo and John Bolton have their way, it's not going to come, because their attitude is you do what we want first. And then maybe we'll do something nice for you. North Korea, you know, returned those remains. They're dismantling the missile launch site. They've stopped nuclear testing. They've stopped missile testing. It's time for the U.S. to step up and say, okay, here's a reciprocal action. But that's not how the U.S. government operates. All right, we're going to take another break for commercials. When we come on back, we have another caller waiting on the phones.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you. And your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Well, they're stealing down on Wall Street and in Washington, too. You know, it makes me wonder, what's a guy on Main Street to do? I've always tried to be an honest, upstanding kind of guy. But I must admit, lately, I thought about giving something else a try. Oh, I want to be a pirate. I want to sail the seven seas. Yeah, I want to be a pirate.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show. And boy, we got a lot of callers waiting on the line here. So let's start with Jim in Chicago. Aloha, Jim. Welcome to the show. What is on your mind?
Hello, Michael. I have a question. When did Ron Paul become Donald Trump's delivery boy? Why is he doing that?
Probably just, you know, loyalty within the party, or maybe Ron Paul is hoping that he's going to gain something out of it.
Well, normally, isn't it normal that if the president wanted to send a letter to an official overseas or the head of a country, you go through the State Department?
That would be normal, and I think it was Rand Paul who delivered the letter, and I don't know that the letter came directly from Donald Trump. But it's true, though, that when Rand Paul went to Russia and delivered the letter, and by the way, that's kind of a ritual thing to basically show this is important. This is direct communication. It's on paper, and it's a way of basically signaling the gravitas of what's in there. But they did call him a traitor and just excoriated him. Right now, the corporate media, anybody who says anything nice about Russia, or even who says, let's just go back to being friends with Russia, they're attacked. you know, there is this get Russia mentality throughout the government and the corporate media. And personally, I think we ought to grab all these people, give them parachutes, and drop them into the middle of Moscow if they're that hot and bothered to go to war with Russia.
Right. I am not anti-Russian, but I thought it's kind of unusual that a president would give it to a senator instead of going through the diplomatic channel. That was my concern.
I think it was a way of signaling it was more important. And also, Donald Trump may realize that he still has people in the State Department he cannot trust. There may have been a communication in that letter that he thought should remain confidential.
Okay. And my final point, did you read in the paper today where Puerto Rico is sending 4,000 of their prisoners to the mainland? And who's going to pay for that? And how could that? How could they do that?
Apparently, they got whichever prisons are accepting them. For all we know, it may be some of these privatized prison factories who just need more workers.
Well, that's a good point, because I said to myself, Puerto Rico's broke, and they said they're doing it because they can't take care of them. So where is the money going to come up for to pay off these prisons? These prisoners?
Obviously, it's going to come somehow, some way, from the pockets of Americans, either people who are buying the products coming out of the prison factories, or it'll come out of the taxpayer funds.
Right, right. Okay, Michael, you take care.
All right, well, thanks an awful lot, and we're going to switch on over to Helen in Pennsylvania. Aloha, Helen. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Good evening, Michael. How are you?
I'm doing fine.
I'm listening to RBN and all the confusion with everybody's being or having that fear in them about this war and rumors of wars and all the commotion and the fighting and the turmoil going on. It's a disgrace. Nobody is going to push a button. People should be concentrating on preparing their homes or wherever they live for natural disasters that are going to happen, and they've been brewing. Arizona's under the Grand Canyon, they're going to have that volcano explode. It will change the geography of the United States of America and many places.
There's a very thin line, and I think you mean the Yellowstone supervolcano. There's a very thin line between prepping for natural disasters and prepping for war, and we talk about prepping a lot on this show. Fortunately for us here on Oahu, Hurricane Harvey is already passed. We got very little wind, very little rain, so we lucked out on that one. But in most cases, prepping for a possible war is very much like prepping for a natural disaster. As far as the Yellowstone supervolcano, there's no amount of prepping that is going to save people who are living right next to Yellowstone. It's going to be that powerful. And obviously, there's no amount of prepping that will save you if you are the target of a nuclear attack.
Oh, absolutely. And Tennessee is heading for a terrible earthquake, and they have no preparation for it. California does.
If you're talking about the New Madrid fault, people in the area are aware of it, and I'm sure probably that there are a lot of people who are prepping. If not for the quake, they're prepping for tornadoes and hurricanes, which hit the region. I think more people are into prepping than you give them credit for.
Well, I'm happy to hear that, and also I have a health tip. There shouldn't be one home without powdered cayenne pepper or Frank hot sauce in a jar in the fridge or icebox or whatever. And also coconut oil to have in for emergencies. And but the cayenne pepper mix. I have a teaspoon with a half a cup of hot water and ingest it. You will pull yourself out of a cardiac arrest before any ambulance in any part of the world can pick you up. God bless America and other parts of the world. And, Mike, I'm listening to your show and enjoying it.
Well, thank you very much for the advice, and thank you very much for the kind words. We're going to let you go and switch over to Joe in Tennessee. Aloha, Joe. Thank you for waiting. What's on your mind?
Hey, Mike. I read a great article this morning about farmers in South Africa and how everybody, mm-hmm. you know, they're being victimized by the black government, and they're having their farms confiscated. But the interesting part about this article was it said these farmers weren't just sitting around waiting to have their lands confiscated. They did kind of what I did in Florida, which was spread the pain. In other words, they are mortgaged out. They have big loans from the banks on these on their property. So what
yes.
I think the government in South Africa is realizing is if they confiscate these farms from these Dutch farmers, Boers, it's going to cause a banking crisis, which I find really funny because a lot of these communist governments like the ANC and such, they're actually funded by, you know, the banking interests because they like the communist kind of governments because they give them control over a lot of the resources and stuff. So
yes.
it's kind of ironic to see, you know, these statists and these communists and even these bankers because they love like a one-party state. To see that these free market type farmers have outsmarted them in a sense, in that it's like a poison pill. You know, it's going to make it very difficult. Not only are the people there going to starve when they force these farmers off their property because they will no longer be productive, there's going to be a lot of bank problems caused by this. And
it's Zimbabwe all over again. The same thing happened in Zimbabwe. They took the farms away from the white farmers who knew how to run a farm. They gave them to the black people who really didn't know what they were doing. And the farms stopped producing. There was hunger. Again, as you say, these properties had mortgages on them that were not being repaid. Now, the government of South Africa may simply arbitrarily declare that the farmers are still responsible for the mortgages, but they're not going to have the money to pay for it without having a working farm. So I'm not surprised so many of them are taking Putin up on his offer for free land up in Russia. And a lot of them have already basically gotten out. They've probably sold their farms to somebody or simply abandoned them. And they've gone up to Russia. They're going to get free land. They're going to start new farms there. And they're not going to have to deal with this nonsense.
Yeah, no, I think it's that's what's happening. And I'm all for the farmers. I love to see statists getting punched in the nose. And I like to see individuals who figure a way to stick it to the system, and I hope that this does that in effect. Oh, I wanted to answer the one guy who was talking about Trump and how we could still be supporting Trump, especially with this China thing. And Trump ran on being hard on China. He ran on he was going to, like, try to get manufacturing back from China. I mean, we have a $500 billion a year deficit with China, so I agree with Trump that I think that it's a win-win for us, that that we can just – we're a big market for their products. They're not buying our products, so therefore –
we don't make anything they want. That's where Trump's plan has fallen apart, okay? You heard that other caller. China has 85% of the world's manufacturing capacity. And the United States, starting about 30, I guess going on 40 years ago, basically abandoned manufacturing. And we just don't have the factories right now to come up with domestic equivalent products. I know some companies are trying to start up, but it's going to be a very, very long process. And what Trump really should have done was take all this money that's being spent on the Space Force and some of the wars, along with the illegal immigrants and the refugees, and basically set up a government program to fund manufacturing development.
Well, an infrastructure.
But he didn't
I'm with you on that. I'm with you on that. An infrastructure plan, I would have liked to have seen that. But, I mean, I like the fact that he's started this with China, and I think that a lot of manufacturing can be restarted in this country. Look at the steel, and they're hiring, and people in Michigan are hiring for the auto companies. So a lot of manufacturing, it doesn't take that much to really restart it. We do have a lot of office space and factory space, and I think that they're going to be the ones that are going to lose most if this doesn't come to an end. And the other thing I'd like to talk about is Trump with prison reform. I mean, Obama almost doubled Americans' prison population over his presidency. And I see Trump on TV now, and they're talking about trying to get people out and get them back to work. And I mean, we have a lot of nonviolent drug offenders in prison, and it makes me sick.
I would agree with you on that one. Here's the problem. There are no jobs for those prisoners. We know that the unemployment figures are a lie. Paul Craig Roberts came out with a really good article about it just a few days ago, where he said you cannot have this claim of ultra-low unemployment while looking at the Bureau of Labor Statistics worker participation rate and the fact that wages and salaries are still in the basement. Normally, when you've got very, very low unemployment, there's going to be pressure on wages and salaries to go up. We're not seeing it. And so, the problem is if you let these prisoners out of the prison, and I agree, the nonviolent drug offenders ought to be let go, especially the people in there for marijuana. But what are they going to do?
Infrastructure plan.
Well, who's going to come up with the money?
They can come up with the money from the wars. You're right. I mean, we end the wars and we build the infrastructure and we let the prisoners out of prison. How's that? I mean, it makes sense, but it's probably politically very difficult to do. But at the same time,
right now, politically, it's impossible. I mean, a lot of what Trump said sounded really good, but his implementation has fallen short. And again, the main reason I supported Donald Trump in 2016 was I didn't want Hillary Clinton in that Oval Office because things would be a lot worse than they are now. But he has been a disappointment, and I'm willing to basically acknowledge that I see him as a tremendous disappointment. And he's got a lot of people around him giving him bad advice. And his biggest single mistake coming into the White House was that he wanted to be magnanimous in victory, and he let all the Obama holdovers stay there, thinking that because he was now the boss, they would be loyal to him. That's how it works in business. That is not how it works in Washington, D.C. Trump should have just cleaned out the White House and the executive office building and brought in all new people from outside the Beltway who are not compromised by that dark core of corruption inside the heart of the deep state.
Well, I agree with you on that. But at the same time, I really think Trump is shaking things up, and I'm glad. I'm glad
he's
we have somebody that. Shaking things up. And that's worth
that.
The price of admission.
Well, shaking things up is not always a good thing, as anybody who tries to open a soft drink on a hot day will tell you that. Anyway, listen, Joe, we're going to let you go
Thank
and
you.
Switch over to Steve Elkins. Aloha, Steve. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, Mike, what is the possibility? There's a plan, actually, to take out the independent media first prior to an economic collapse, because if there's an economic collapse and independent media is installed, it's still there doing really strong. It'll even get even stronger because the people will definitely leave the mainstream media and flock towards the independent media for answers, because we were telling the truth. We were talking about the true economic situation, what was really going on. I think that might be a plan.
Well,
they wanted to take out independent first and then maybe let it collapse.
I don't think it's a case of letting it collapse. They can't stop it from happening. And I don't think it's just the economy. There's a lot of overlapping agendas to this attack on the independent media. The vaccine companies want us silenced. The GMO companies want us silenced. Corporate media wants to get rid of their competition. The government basically is very frustrated that they can't lie us into going along with their agenda, because every time they do a false flag or they lie about the war, it's ripped apart here in the independent media. Because of the independent media, the lifespan of a government lie can be clocked with an egg timer these days.
I also want to say thank you for that third hour from your guest yesterday, Alan Phillips. I went out today, did a little bit of shopping on my day off, and I carefully approached a woman who had an autistic child. Actually, she was the grandmother taking care of him for today. He was probably 14, 15 years old, and I had to be careful how I word this. But I talked to her, and she was actually very compliant and gave me all the the updates of actually when he became they realized he was autistic at the age of 18 months after a series of vaccines. And I turned her on to, of course, RBN and what we've been talking around here, and I told us definitely Alan Phillips' website. but we may get a new listener to the network, and hopefully she'll tell a lot of the people. But this is what I'm finding out. I'm going to start doing this a little bit more often. I hope I don't have any blowback on this, but approach people in a skillful way and then talk to them and see if I can, you know, get more information. But she said at 18 months old, he was fine up until 18 months, came in, went in for the baby shots, came back, started having different behaviors, this and this, and he's in pretty bad shape as far as autism goes if you had to scale it. And I don't know. Mike, this is I've got 5 grandchildren. I'm fighting hard to stop all this mandatory, but they really are twisting arms even at work, saying if you don't comply, people are losing their jobs as a nurse or wherever they're working. And I don't know. I'm hoping
they weren't happy making the money off of vaccinating children. Now they want to get the adults mandatory vaccines because that will enlarge the market. It means more money. Steve, do you have more? Do you want to stay through the commercial break?
No, that's it. That's fine. That's all I wanted to add.
Thanks. All right. Thanks an awful lot. We're going to let you go, and we'll be right back after these words from our sponsors.
I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to. So I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain, and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone, and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to angioprim.com. That's angioprim.com. Or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll-free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website angioprim.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Many people tell us about their experience with Extendivite. Just listen to what Glenn has to say.
Prior to taking it, I had diabetic neuropathy. The Extendivite reduced that significantly. Acid reflux was reduced. I had athlete's foot, very severe. Trimmed that down to about 75% dandruff. Almost completely gone. I had occipital neuralgia at the base of my skull. I was having migraines, reduced by about 90%. Heart palpitations, my heart would kind of stall out. I would skip a beat. Very uncomfortable. And when walking from downstairs going to sleep, by the time I got to the bedroom, which is just one flight of stairs, my heart was pounding, coming out of my chest. My vision was blurry. This completely solved that problem. Great product. Thanks.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
You can burn up our mosques and our homes and our schools, but our spirit will never die. We will not go down in Gaza tonight. Women and children.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. Now, we had a caller into the show yesterday who talked about this subject, and I found some more information about it. And apparently, there is a problem with the fabrication of the vertical launch tubes that are being used in three different classes of submarine. And they're saying the delay to rebuild these missile tubes could delay the completion of the submarines. Now, these missile tubes were going to be used in the next version of the U.S. Navy's Virginia-class attack submarines, the Block 5, as well as the upcoming Columbia-class and the British Royal Navy's Dreadnought class, which are both ballistic missile submarines. And apparently a dozen of these tubes manufactured by BWXT Inc. were found to have substandard wells. Now, obviously on a submarine or any ship, the wells have to be absolutely perfect. These vertical launch tubes have to withstand the pressures of the missiles being launched from them, followed by the inrush of seawater, and you can't have the wells breaking. They have to perform over and over and over again. So it's just another reminder that what's coming out of the U.S. military-industrial complex is very costly, but not really very good here. The U.S. military is now spending roughly $500 million training for underground warfare. And basically, the Army has decided the next war, which may be against peer competitors like Russia, China, or North Korea. Well, North Korea is not a peer. Let's be honest about that. Will probably involve a great deal of underground fighting because many of the world's most powerful militaries maintain vast subterranean facilities built to house command units, shield forces from nuclear or conventional attack, and to deliver unsuspecting sneak attacks on forces above ground. One estimate last year places the number at 10,000 worldwide. Well, this is nothing new. If you go back and you study the history of World War II, there was a lot of military tunneling going on. So, but any more excuse to spend other people's money. All right, let's take a quick phone call from Layla in Ontario. Aloha, Layla, and I'm probably going to have to take you to station identification. What's on your mind today?
Yes, Mike, I noticed in your earlier comments you were talking about the massive protest in Israel and that it was Israelis as well as the Druze who were protesting.
Yes.
What
yep.
I regret is that they haven't included other groups. Now, the thing that's unique about the Druze is that
we don't know what other groups may have been there. It was just the Israeli and Druze flags. There may have been Palestinians there, you know, that didn't get caught by the photographer, although Palestinians able to get into Tel Aviv would be very, very difficult. But I agree with you.
There's something about the Druze too that's unique. I don't know how much you know about them. One can never marry into the Druze. You only marry a fellow Druze.
Layla, I'm going to put you on hold. We got to do a station identification.
Sure.
We'll be back in just a couple of minutes. So stay on the line. We'll be right back.
Media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at libertystickers.com. Again, that's libertystickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.